The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys.
Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters
at the Star in Frisco.
First down. Hand off Elliott, plowing to the goal line. Buried, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a fantastic Friday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, as we are live from the SWBC studios at the Star in Frisco. It's been icy around the Star last couple days. And we're finally back on the air. Glad to be with you. Kyle Yeomans, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Nosey Walker. We've got Chris Beam in the back. Guys, I've been out of town for a couple days. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you missed this weather, Kyle.
Okay, there's one.
Yeah, where the heck were
How
you
convenient.
At?
Convenient.
I was in Mexico.
Oh, thanks for the invite. Did you get an invite?
I did not get an
invite.
No, you didn't get an invite.
I wanted to run around booty butt naked on Doggone Beach, you know?
A visual. How come you get to run around booty butt naked?
You were definitely commando.
A visual I wasn't prepared for this one.
He definitely went commando on the beach.
Woohoo!
Now we have to picture Kyle walking in a banana hammock.
Hey, there are worse things to think about, all right? I mean, come on. What else happened around this Cowboys team?
Well, a couple people first and foremost, Dan Quinn is sticking around.
Hey, that's a good one. That's,
massive keep for the Cowboys. Dan Quinn went on his round of interviews with the Cardinals, the Colts, the Broncos, and as we all know, he was a front runner to land that Broncos position last year before they went with Nathaniel Hackett. Thank you for making that mistake, Denver. But Dan Quinn is sticking around. So huge keep for the Cowboys, but on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, there's this guy named Kellen Moore.
Oh, yeah.
He was the offensive coordinator. Keyword was the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys.
No more?
From 2019 to 2022.
Oh, he's charged up now.
There's no more.
He is no more
I see what you're doing.
In a Cowboys
Bars.
Uniform.
Bars.
No more.
Interesting. I see what you're doing
there. M-O-O-R-E.
Yeah. I see what you're doing there.
Did you see that coming? I saw it coming.
Well, whenever Mike McCarthy said it the way that he did in his press conference.
Yeah, how he responded to the question about him, right?
The writing was on the wall at that point.
He seemed very hostile. That was a hostile response.
And there was a bit of clarification with another thing that happened this week, which was the Senior Bowl. And Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones spoke during their time down in Mobile. And Stephen Jones said it was a difference in philosophy between Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore that led to the parting of ways. Which, are we shocked by that?
No.
I didn't think so much.
Eyebrow raising, but not shocked,
not
stunned or anything like
it's
that.
Great way to put it. Eyebrow raising is perfect.
And having some conversations with some folks after the decision was made to mutually part ways with Kellen Moore, my understanding of it is – no, it was mutual. Mm-hmm. My understanding of it is – and I can confirm it was mutual. My understanding of it was that even when McCarthy stood on the podium and said that Kellen Moore is no different from any other coach and that he must be evaluated, he wasn't saying that maliciously. He was just being matter-of-fact with it. And my understanding is when they got down to the evaluation process, well, kind of taking a half step back, I think McCarthy – kind of expected Moore to still be around, but there was going to be some in-depth conversation in the evaluation process of, as far as where the offense needs to go in 2023. And in that conversation, I think that's where the reality hit for both sides, where it's like, you know what, we're apart on this. We're apart on this. And just from my opinion, this is my opinion, obviously, but as it relates to Moore's acceptance of the Chargers offer, that happened so quickly that logic dictates that it might have been in his back pocket already.
There's some murmurs going around in terms of potential tampering.
Well, I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's murmurs.
Tampering about what?
That he had a relationship with
with L.A.
Mm-hmm.
beforehand.
Mm-hmm. We just happen to have joint practices this year too.
Yeah,
let's just put it this way, because
they were hanging out in the hotel lobby.
We're definitely not providing.
If something happens this year,
this is just murmurs. I don't.
Let's just say the tea leaves say what the tea leaves say. And I
you drink tea?
Would be would be hard pressed to believe that an offer for the offensive coordinator position in a program like the Chargers, who have such a level of talent offensively, that manifested in 15 hours.
He
accepted that offer in 15 hours. Well, I should say, let me put it this way. That offer became public and final and official from Los Angeles in 15 hours after the decision from in
Dallas.
He
probably accepted it in the first 17 minutes.
Possible, kind of along those same lines, that the decision was made around Kellen Moore far before it was released, right around the start of the second championship game on Sunday? Probably was. I mean, we were talking to Mike McCarthy on Wednesday, and it was a matter of time until that news came out, or at least it seemed like it was a matter of time until the news came out. Now, my opinion, I think Kellen Moore is going to be really good in LA.
I think that
system, I think that scenario.
His resources?
The resources there. Yeah. And I wouldn't say that, because the resources here are great. They're good resources here. If you're talking about personnel, that's different.
Are you talking about like free agents?
You're talking about like
I'm talking about the personnel.
Yeah, the personnel. Okay, so personnel. Okay, we can have an agreement on that one. But I think he's going to
got the nod right now.
That's
why you're making that face.
He's going to fit that mold better. He's going to fit that mold better than he did here. And honestly, I think Dallas is better off without him here. It's just a fit. I really do. I think this is going to be a good fit for both parties.
It could be a win,
which is possible. That happens all the time.
And I think that...
Look at the Super Bowl right now. Andy Reid left the Eagles, and now the Eagles are still there again. They have a chance to go back to another Super Bowl. Andy Reid's on the Chiefs. It's a good fit both ways.
And I think from a Mike McCarthy standpoint, when you look at Mike McCarthy having sat out a season after his divorce from the Green Bay Packers, and his whole thing over the course of that season that he was out was he was trying to advance his coaching style with analytics and things of that nature. Fast forward to today, and I think that he's going to try to take the best of what Kellen Moore did and then merge that with what he knows how to do, and then we'll see who the OC is that comes in, because Jerry Jones said in Mobile that it's basically a foregone conclusion that Mike is going to call the plays.
Yeah.
But they're still going to get an OC, and I think that OC would be more of an advisory role. But if it happens to be certain individual from Los Angeles, the other Los Angeles team, if you get where I'm going with this, then that will be very interesting, because that person comes in with McVay knowledge, right? So if you can get McVay knowledge mixed with the best of Kellen Moore, mixed with the best of Mike McCarthy, get your personnel right at wide receiver, and hopefully you can keep the band together with Pollard and Zeke, but that's a discussion as well.
You played in a system with Belichick knowledge. You played in a system with Pete Carroll knowledge. How much does it matter to have different inputs? Because if anything could be said about the Cowboys offense this year, is at times it was stale. At times it was mediocre to a concerning degree.
Okay.
But now you have a chance to spice it up a little bit and go get some different input, some different knowledge. And you did so with minor roles like Ben McAdoo a year ago. You did it with a couple different ways. But how important is it to go out and get a veteran guy like that to come in as an offensive coordinator to kind of sprinkle in what Patrick's talking about?
You want my real opinion?
Yeah.
I think they just let
say it with your chest. It's Friday.
It is Friday. It's been a while. I think they just let the best thing they could have had go.
Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore.
Really?
I really think so. I think they should have had some grown man conversations, and I think they should have figured it out. Because I think Kellen Moore is one hell of an offensive coordinator, and he's continued to grow. He's continued to grow. He's continued to develop. What I see and what I saw on film, you know, I watch a good amount of it, and you do as well. He had a complex, very diverse offense in the beginning of the year.
Sure.
They couldn't run it. They couldn't run it. His quarterback couldn't make the reads. Receivers couldn't read the coverages. So because those guys were unable, incapable at that point in time of making the correct reads based upon the defense that was presented to them and running the correct routes, throwing the correct ball, going to the correct concepts, all those things, he had to dumb it down. He had to dumb it down. And even once he dumbed it down, we saw what happened in the last game. There were guys still running around booty butt naked open, and the ball still wasn't getting to them. And that was the most simplistic Jason Garrett-ish offense we had all year long. But look at, go back to the film in the beginning of the year. Look at the concepts that were out there. Look at the read routes that were out there, right? All those combinations. And then go to the end of the year. Playoff games. Look at that offense. Look how boring and stagnant that offense was in comparison. He had to adjust. If your personnel can't facilitate the offense, you have to adjust so that you can give them something that they can handle. And again, that's just being real and watching the film. To your point, the offenses that I've been in some very complex offenses like New England, which was absolutely insane. Okay, I've showed y'all some of that stuff. It was read routes on everything. And you better have known what the heck you were doing. You better knew what the coverage was. You better know the leverage and all that stuff with the defenders so that you could run the correct route. We saw some of those mishaps early in the year where CeeDee Lamb was unsure about coverage. Am I taking the top off? Am I coming underneath? And we saw Dak compound those problems by throwing the ball incorrectly to certain guys. That was them trying to figure out that complex offense, which required you to be high intellect and be able to make the correct reads. When you don't have the ability to do that and execute it properly, you have to bring it back down to the grade level or high school level, which is mirrored routes on the outside, read routes on the inside, super simplistic, read the basic coverages, make the correct decision. And those things still weren't happening. So now you take a Kellen Moore going out to an offense that has more veterans, it has more vets, and I would say those are high intellect players that he has over there. Absolutely. They're gonna kill it in terms of what Dallas is gonna do here. I think you're going to see it dumbed down a lot more. You're going to see it dumbed down to what you saw more towards the end of the year. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be successful with that, because I believe that you can. West Coast offense, Pete Carroll, you brought that up. West Coast, super simple reads for the quarterback. Get the ball out quick.
That's Branch McCarthy's.
That's what he does, right? Quick three-step drops or from the gun, catch and throw, you know what I'm saying, catch and one gallop, some of those things, right? It's going to be easy decisions, but you're not going to see that complex stuff, and you're not going to see the ball pushed down the field nearly as much as you saw early in the year with Kellen Moore.
Now, I just want to ask this as a follow-up. The fact that it had to be so simple toward the back half and it had to be dumbed down in the back half, is that an indictment on the personnel specifically, or could it be an indictment on the Monday through Saturday comparison and the preparation from a coaching staff?
It could be both, right? And we don't know.
We'll never have any idea.
We'll never know. We just see the result. We see what they were trying to do concept-wise, and we saw the execution of it.
Sure.
So where the ball was dropped in between, we don't know. But we do know that in the beginning of the year, he had read routes, combination routes that were adjusting based upon coverages. We do know that Dak had certain reads where he should have been looking off coverages and coming back to certain concepts, and he wasn't doing that correctly. He was trying to force the ball. Those are the things we do know. So we don't know what's being taught, if they're being taught the proper reads and all that kind of stuff, the adjustments. We don't know. We just see the lack of execution on Sundays.
I think, and to your point, it could go a little bit more vanilla, with the exception being if they bring in someone who is from a McVay tree, for example. If that person comes in and they're the offensive coordinator, correct, and although McCarthy is playing, calling the plays, that doesn't mean McCarthy is dictator over the game plan, right? So it's still going to be a collaborative game plan over the course of the week. So you're still going to get those ideas from a McVay branch or whomever else might be it Brian Schottenheimer, whatever the case may be. So I think that is going to help keep it from becoming vanilla, and we'll see if that's the case. But I would lean more so on it being a personnel issue, because if we're comparing the Chargers wide receiver core to the Cowboys wide receiver core, okay, well, we know that CeeDee Lamb has ascended to the role of wide receiver one.
Sure.
Crown him, the discussion is no more. But Michael Gallup, he just recently had his right knee and right ankle scoped.
Which is the opposite knee.
Which is the opposite knee for those that need to be clear on that. He tore the ACL in his left knee. But that also goes to let you know that he wasn't 100% himself as he was trying to return from a torn ACL. Mm-hmm. You didn't get what you needed to get from Jalen Tolbert, who was mostly inactive. T.Y. Hilton came in later in the season, on the back end of December, so you didn't have a ton of reps with him. If you fixed a wide receiver equation and Michael Gallup is 100% healthy, which now I have no reservations about it happening, because you got an entire offseason now. You're not coming back in season to try to figure it out.
Correct.
Now you have an entire offseason program. So figure that out. CeeDee Lamb is there. Let's assume Gallup is healthy. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver three is what you really got to figure out. They're going to talk again to OBJ, who presumably is healthy now. He's starting to release those workout clips.
Now they're coming out.
Yeah, now they're starting to come out at a free agency. No coincidence.
So two things real quick before I know you got going. We got so many topics.
Yep.
I don't think it's personnel. I don't think it was personnel in terms of lack thereof this year. I think the personnel was there. It was good enough to get the job done. right? I think you could, obviously, you always wish you had more, right? You wish you had more weapons, you know, like San Fran, like Philly, like all, you know, all those teams that were that we saw progress. We wish we had more, but you didn't.
But okay? That's my point. When they had more, no pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they had more, the Hydra, Coop, Lamb, yeah. A healthy Gallup. You saw what they were able
absolutely.
To do. 3,000-yard
yeah,
receivers.
Yeah, basically. It was the top so then offense in the league.
Drop Cooper out via trade.
Yeah, now
Gallup's
reaching.
Not healthy.
Yeah.
Lamb does correct. What he needs to do. But from there, the personnel doesn't match up.
I agree. I do believe that T.Y. Hilton, during his time here, was underutilized.
I would love to see T.Y. here for a whole year.
Underutilized. And if you go back and watch the film of that last game, this dude was open the whole game.
He was
7-11. But to simplistic offenses, because Kyle, I know a lot of people are going to kind of jump on the ship. Oh, that's not fair. So, simplistic offenses in the NFL work if everybody's on one accord, i.e. the 49ers. The 49ers don't run a complex offense at all. The fact that you can go down to quarterback number 3 and be very successful lets you know that offense is not complex. Those guys were running very simple routes, but that offensive coordinator was just a freaking genius in terms of keeping everybody on the same page, taking the same things and motions and personnel groupings and all that jazz. So that's an opportunity for everybody to understand that McCarthy can do the very similar schemes, okay, and be very successful. Agreed. I'm just saying that Kellen Moore brought it from up here and had to bring it down.
And that happened over the course of the season.
Correct.
Not just this year, but you could say it happened last year as well.
Correct.
Happened at the same time. Oh, lots to talk about.
Yeah. Lots.
But there's Kellen Moore. We'll talk plenty more about that as the offseason goes along, I'm sure. We're going to talk about him more and more. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back here on Talking Cowboys, what personnel changes could be on the horizon, including two big-name guys that could either be let go or extended? We'll tell you who those are when we come back right after this with more Talking Cowboys.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, equal housing lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. Glad you're with us here on this Say It With Your Chest Friday off-season edition. And that's exactly what we're doing because we've got a lot to talk about, like we said. So We've hit Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about
DQ.
DQ and that he's coming back. We'll save that the majority of that topic for later. Jayron Kearse headed for surgery, right?
Yeah, several. Several of the players are. And let's preface it with this. This is get right season.
Correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, typically immediately after the season concludes, whenever that might be, you'll see guys starting to get cleanup procedures. And these are cleanup procedures. Michael Gallup, his right knee and right knee were scoped. That's a cleanup procedure. Jayron Kearse is finally getting that shoulder issue situated via procedure. It was scheduled for yesterday on Thursday, but we've had the winter ice storm here, so we'll see if it happens in the next couple of days. Yeah. But for those that might have forgotten, he injured that shoulder on Thanksgiving, and he was playing through it ever since. And then, of course, he was playing through the knee issue, but there's no procedure scheduled for the knee, so that's a good sign there. And it just goes from there. Tyron Smith is having cleanup work done. I mean, the list goes on and on. There are like six or seven guys. Luke Gifford is the only one that's not being deemed quote unquote cleanup because he's having surgery or had surgery if it's already occurred on a core muscle. So, you know, the core muscle is a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm. So he's going to need that time to recover. Everyone else, let's see who we got. We got Kearse, cleanup, Tyron, cleanup, Gifford. Let's see. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I mean, my more or less, you got four or five guys. Nothing serious. The most serious would be Lou Gifford with the core muscle. So it's cleanup procedures. Yeah. But Jayron Kearse back to full health. Malik Hooker, that's who I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
Dislocated thumb. He was playing through a dislocated thumb. He's getting that tightened up. So, yeah, he'd be good as well.
Shout out to the whole training staff. They don't get much time off. I don't know if people understand that or
they
not.
They do not.
Like, majority of their work.
That's a year-round deal.
Yeah, majority of their work starts now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now. And then, like, they have to nurse these guys back to health all the way up to
right
camp
season.
And through camp.
Just get right season.
So, I mean, people need to put some respect on Jim and Britt and G, all those guys, because they do one heck of a job throughout the year. But a lot of their rehabilitation starts now. They try to keep guys healthy during the year, and then they have to get guys healthy in the offseason.
And
best staff in the league.
It's a well-known thing that this is an incredible training staff. Yeah. Now, and that's why when you said resources earlier, I was like, maybe not. Like, but you were talking personnel.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the way that this training staff is, and we're not just saying that because they're
I've done it way too much with them, so I know.
Yeah, you were with five different training staffs.
Yeah, I've been with some good chess staffs, and
this is still the best.
These guys were amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's a well-known thing throughout the league. There's reasons why people look to the Cowboys training staff whenever they're in the combine and they're at the Senior Bowl and they're doing all this different stuff
like
to
DeMone
check
Clark.
Out some of these guys.
DeMone Clark.
DeMone Clark, big thing for that. So, outside of the injury report, which we just gave, little WWRD, what would Rob do?
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about some personnel changes that could be on the horizon for the Cowboys, starting at the running back position.
We missed some of the other coaches, Kyle.
Oh, go for it.
I mean,
who are some of the other coaches?
We lost
number one, Doug Nussmeier.
Yep.
He's out
quarterback
as well.
Quarterback coach.
And mm-hmm. For those, go back to the previous episode of Talking Cowboys, and we spoke about how it was time to move on from Doug Nussmeier, so he's moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Skip Pete, that's a tough one.
That sucks.
That's a tough one to
Not
swallow.
Not in agreement with that.
Running backs coach Skip Pete, you saw what he did for Ezekiel Elliott. You saw what he did in the breakout season last year with Tony Pollard.
Gurley, all the other cats.
That's mm-hmm. So we'll see where the Cowboys go with that. George Edwards, another big loss.
Yeah, that was big.
Another big loss. George Edwards was
that happened before Dan Quinn came back, and we thought that was riding on the wall.
Yeah, we thought that was going to
Quinn was going
to see
back.
That and say, you know what, I'm going to move on.
Rob Davis,
another one.
Like,
Rob Davis, which is the right hand man.
It was assistant
of Mike
head
McCarthy.
Coach.
Yeah, quite literally the right hand man of Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy was actually fighting back some emotions, talking about some of these coaching losses, in particular Rob Davis.
Yeah, that one.
Who's really close to him personally. So Rob Davis, the assistant head coach, Doug Nussmeier, Skip Pete, George
Philbin.
Edwards, Joe Philbin, offensive line coach. Now I'm torn on Philbin in that we talked about it. I love what Philbin was able to do in the face of adversity.
Multiple years.
I love what he was able to do in the progression of Terrence Steele and in the first year of Tyler Smith, having to move him around, but still seeing Tyler Smith for the most part excel at either position. Still got some growing pains, obviously, the penalties we'll talk about down the road. But Joe Philbin did some really good things.
Yes, he did.
That said, I could also see why they'd be looking to bring someone else.
Attitude.
So I think it's no knock to Philbin, because we said we were fine with Philbin remaining, but then moving on from him, much like the Kellen Moore question, are we shocked? No, not shocked.
He was the hood mechanic.
Oh.
Yeah. Joe Philbin was the hood mechanic.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, you know what I'm going, like, yeah. The hood mechanic will patch it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gonna get it running, right? He gonna get you running now. Is he gonna run at tip top shape? Nah,
but it'll get you to the home.
But it'll get you to the crib. Absolutely.
Home.
So he'll patch that thing up. Call the hood mechanic. He'll make it work.
Yeah,
for you. That's what Philbin was. You know, you handed something terrible. You know, old school car, and he patches it up.
It'll get you home.
So shout out to Philbin. Hey, big kudos to him. He had to work through a lot,
a ton,
and he gave Dallas an opportunity to win ball games when everybody thought that they had zero chance.
And Leon Lett also part of ways. That's a long. Obviously, and when we say long-term relationship with the Cowboys, we're talking about pre-coaching as well. So Leon Lett has a long-term relationship with his organization, both as a player and as an assistant coach, assistant position coach, so he's out as well. So
how many coaches in total? You said 8?
About that.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of turnover in a short amount of time.
Sides of the ball, yeah.
And they've already hired a new offensive line coach. Now they're still looking for a bunch of these other guys. He came from Seattle.
And he's been here before.
Line coach way back when.
Tell him who was the coach, Kyle.
Didn't go and get my munkin.
One guy named Tom Landry was the head coach whenever he was on the staff.
I've heard of that guy.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Was that the guy with the fedora?
Yeah, that was the guy with the hat.
I'm familiar. 85
to 88, I think he was here.
Yeah, I think it was like 86, 88 or something like that. Crazy. Hey, if we're talking about getting some McVay knowledge, I mean, at least we're getting some Tom Landry knowledge up in the
some nastiness.
There's nothing wrong with getting some Tom Landry. I venture to say that Landry shift isn't going anywhere.
Safe to say
that's going to stay.
It's going to keep going.
We like to see more of it in 23.
Yeah, I know we're going to report personnel, but I didn't know we had a lot of coaches.
I'm glad you hit that because there's a lot of guys. Best of luck to all the guys that are no longer in the building.
Don't skip Pete.
That one hurts
George,
a little bit.
Those are tough ones.
Yeah, both those guys were great while they were here. All right, let's talk about Skip Pete's position, running back. Ezekiel Elliott, and this was quoted by Jerry and Steven, absolutely a player that the Cowboys would like to bring back. They were both on the same page when talking about the running back returning. They want him to return. However, here was the quote. You always want Zeke, but do the numbers work? You can't define what Zeke does for our football team. You can probably define it, but
he's just saying stat-wise,
statistically,
which is, you know, that's always what I lean on.
It doesn't show the whole picture.
That's what he's saying. He's saying the statistics
don't show
his value.
He's what become he does, a leader in the locker room.
What he does in the locker room, what he does on the field, what he does off the field, it's all
how he's
huge.
Embraced the change of the position with Tony Pollard getting more reps and basically saying outright, he's like, hey, yeah, he's the explosive guy, and I'm the guy that's going to pound you into the ground. And when you talk about pride or lack thereof, that's unbridled maturity for Ezekiel Elliott. Compare those kinds of comments that we've been seeing from Ezekiel Elliott when incessantly asked the Tony Pollard question over the course of this past season to the 2016 version of Ezekiel Elliott. Though this is a grown man right now, and this is one of the leaders of the locker room, much like Dak Prescott is, much like DeMarcus Lawrence is, and Leighton Van Der Esch. So that's what Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones mean when they say it's hard to quantify everything that Zeke brings to the table. And it's easy to look at this, you know, what he's doing statistically and say, okay, well, there's a little bit of a downturn there. Well, it's also fair to say there's a little bit of a downturn on Zeke because there is a lot of an upturn on Tony Pollard. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, can they retain Tony Pollard, and how can you do that? Well, it's real easy. Tap it again?
Tag your ear.
Tap it again?
Yeah.
The easy button.
Yeah.
Franchise tag. Hit the easy button.
How much is going to hit him for?
10.1. So that's
10.1, which is not bad for a guy that impacts your offense as heavily as Tony Pollard.
Is he more impactful? Straight question. Ooh. More impactful than Dalton Schultz?
Absolutely.
Then that's what you paid Dalton
Schultz.
Not even close. There you go.
You paid Dalton 10.9.
Ooh!
You did. So it was 800K.
How much did you say? Is that your salary?
No. God, I wish. The problem with the Zeke dilemma right now is the money that will be owed. Yeah. It's a $17 million cap hit next year, followed by $15 million, followed by $17 million again, followed by $16.6 million. So right now is the best time to restructure this potential out that's in the middle of this contract. Who's been talking about this for 2 years? What podcast on this network has been talking about this potential out for 2 years now?
Mm-hmm. I think it's
Whispering Cowboys. This is the time to do it. If you don't restructure it, all of your leverage is gone. for the most part. Because right now, if you were to cut Zeke, his dead cap for 1 year would be about $12 million. Mm-hmm. So instead of 16 plus 15 plus 17 plus 16 again, it would be $12 million, yeah. Done, you're out. So the leverage is on the Cowboys' side. For now, sure. If you don't do it this year, you're going to be in trouble,
Kyle,
for the next four.
What number are you comfortable bringing Zeke back at?
Anything less than probably the franchise tag per year. If you're giving me a per year
So you would
deal,
pay Zeke $9 a year right now? That's what I'm saying. What's your comfort?
That's too much.
What's your comfort? Both of y'all.
Give me 6 or 7.
Okay.
I would do that, and that's a lot for what he's turned into, which
his role.
Is a third down back,
okay.
Short yardage situation, okay. Red zone guy.
What do you think?
I'm doing the math in my head. If I tag Pollard, which I'm willing to do, that's $10 million off the table.
Mm-hmm.
How much am I willing to commit to the position
mm-hmm.
is what I'm thinking about.
And the cap just got raised, right? The cap just got raised
By almost $20 million.
Yeah. That's a huge
thing.
That's
massive.
That's Amari Cooper massive. On your roster. I know that's a salt in the wound, but that's $20 million a year, and that's what Amari made.
I wouldn't do 10 to both, so if I'm doing 10 to one, I got to go down on the other and – 7.5.
Woo.
Give me
see,
that's
the, I was thinking.
See, I'm thinking 5.
When he was bringing up how much would you commit?
Start crossing over into disrespect.
Well, I hear you. I get it, and that's why I bring the question up, because there has to be a discussion between, hey, we value you. Or we respect you. Got Patty. You got rub his shoulders when you had this conversation. Yeah. Hey, we value you and we love
shoulders.
You.
It's his agent's
yeah,
shoulders.
Yeah, true. But it's his shoulders.
And $5 million ain't gonna start the conversation.
I hear you. But I mean, to your point, and we'll get to more personnel. There's a lot of other guys that have to get taken care of.
Fair. And what his agent's going to point out, fairly enough, is what we just pointed out. There's almost a $20 million salary cap bump. And then you get to point at other positions and say, you know what? You could go ahead and extend your quarterback. And if you extend your quarterback, you could save almost $30 million in cap this year alone.
That's our next topic of conversation,
And we'll
by
get
the way,
to that. So if I'm Ezekiel Elliott's agent, yes, I'm amicable to a pay cut or a restructure. But at the same time, it has to be a respectful conversation.
He's supposed to get how much this year? 12?
11, just under 12.
The cap hit is 16.7. That's
but
the cap hit.
The dead money is 11.8.
If they cut him.
If they were to cut
him. If they cut him, it would be a dead cap of 12 million. Let's just say 12. So if you're talking 8 million, 9 million, thanks for your services,
that's a
Zeke.
Lot of money.
Thank you, Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. Appreciate you. I'll talk to you later.
With all else that can be done, I'm willing to commit 17.5 to the running back position.
Oh, that's a lot.
It
man.
Is, but when you look at what you're committing to, though. Look at what you're committing to. You're committing to a tandem that's arguably the best RB tandem in the game right now. Mm-hmm. And you're not overcommitting just yet, because $10 million of that is the franchise tag for Tony Pollard. That gives you a chance to revisit this whole situation in 2024.
That was going
to
be my next question.
At that point, where's Malik Davis in this equation?
With it being $17 million, wouldn't you rather just extend Pollard? But I see what you're saying. No long-term commitment for the running back position.
Correct.
That makes
a lot of sense. And you absorb a lot of that with the bump in the salary cap over last year. You could absorb free up that much more money with a restructure on Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence. You could restructure or just outright extend Dak Prescott, which we'll get to. There is no shortage of triggers that can be pulled to make that easy, and not only easy, but palatable. Like 17.5 for 1 year is very, very palatable if that's going to keep this duo in tandem, in the roster. In a season where you're also switching play callers and offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
How much change are you willing to take on? I'm willing to pay $17.5 million at the position. So that part of it, I don't have to worry about, because I'm still working out play calling and offensive coordinator.
But you lost Skip Pete.
You did lose Skip Pete. You did.
I don't think people understand how valuable he is.
You did.
I really don't.
Well, he understood that scenario better than anybody.
Yeah.
Gosh. And he's a real one, man.
Yeah.
He knows
there's a shortage of real ones out there, Kyle.
He knows both of those guys like the back of their hand. Part of the reason why the whole turning over the position was so well received by Zeke was probably because of Skip Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, the words that Skip Pete were telling to Pollard, that's why there was no animosity toward each other.
With the Raiders the names, the tandems that he had worked with.
Everywhere he's been, the running back room has been solid.
Successful.
And I mean, I don't know the conversations that happened behind the scenes, right? I haven't spoke with Skip and understand, the complexities as to why he's no longer here, but That's a valuable piece that people out there need to understand, that Dallas Cowboys just lost. Whether they lost it, whether they got rid of him, whatever, however you want to place it, he is a real one in the sense that he holds guys accountable.
Right.
That was my issue with him leaving. That was my issue with Rob Davis leaving, and Edwards leaving. Right? All those guys held guys accountable, and I hate when locker rooms and front office and coaching staffs lose guys that are outspoken and that will call out BS and hold guys accountable when they see it, because there's a shortage of that. So many people are concerned with keeping their jobs nowadays that they will go hush when something needs to be said. They will be mute and reserve themselves from saying the things that need to be said to keep everybody on one accord and to keep everybody at a certain level of expectation. Those three guys, especially Skip P, because that's the guy I'm closest with out of those three, he would not hold his tongue if he saw some mess going on. He would call you soft if you're playing soft.
He's an old school ball coach.
Gosh,
period.
Man.
He's going to be a very difficult one to replace. So I'm all eyes on seeing who they bring in to replace Skip Pete. Just a phenomenal human being, good old fashioned old school ball coach, and just really, really good at what he does.
I just hope they don't bring in a yes man. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah,
just don't bring in a yes man.
So we've already gotten one response. It's like $2 or $3 million tops for Zeke.
Get the heck out of here.
But here's the thing. That's what the value might be for what he brings. But there's no way that conversation would even start.
No. Get out of here.
There's no way you would even get the conversation started.
That person doesn't love the Cowboys. Yeah, they like the Cowboys. They don't love the Cowboys.
I'm not even going to dignify that number.
But that's what I'm saying. It would have to take, I'd probably say, 4 to 8. Anywhere in that window, the conversation's happening.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because if it's over 8, the Cowboys aren't interested. If it's under 4, Zeke's party's not interested.
Yeah.
So that's where you're at with the
conversation. I really think the number's 5. I personally think the number's 5.
Well, I could see 5.
The good news is I feel like both sides are willing to have the discussion. Nobody's drawing the hard line in the sand right now.
Cowboys Zeke knows where he's at in his career.
Yeah.
He knows where he's at. You know,
Cowboys aren't drawing the Amari Cooper line in the sand saying, you know what, we could restructure and move this money around and save, but we're just going to go ahead and part ways. They're not there, and Zeke isn't saying, oh, well, if we try to reduce the money, he's not saying
that. No, see, the thing is, when you're at that point in your career and you understand the value you have with that organization, the last thing you want to do is try to start jumping ship because you know that you'll never be that guy again. So if I'm never going to be that guy again, then I'll just stay put.
Listen, I've said this all season long as it relates to, and again, I'm not speaking for Ezekiel Elliott.
Correct.
I'm speaking about Ezekiel Elliott. I've said multiple times, even before reports came out that Ezekiel Elliott would be willing to take a pay cut, I said I could see why he would be willing to take one, and I believe that he would be willing to take one because he understands, and he said it, he understands that if I, Ezekiel Elliott, am willing to take less to remain in Dallas and that less allows you to keep Tony Pollard, I just extended my career.
In the point that you just brought up, this is when the brotherhood comes in. And I know a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, everybody's selfish, you're talking about themselves. When you care about the other guy that's in that room with you, like he cares about Tony Pollard, I'm willing to take a back seat, right? And whether I'm forced to take a back seat or whatever, like I'm willing to humble myself and put myself financially right in a disadvantage to ensure that my guy gets the bag. Because he's been riding with me for a minute, being in the shadows, and now I recognize that I'm now taking a step back. I want to keep this thing together. It's your time your time to shine.
They will extend each other's career
absolutely.
If they stick together.
Agreed.
If they stick together.
Dude, that's a good point. If that's the case, the leverage would, I think, fall in favor of Zeke in terms of the Cowboys, terms of that contract negotiation. So maybe it would be a lower number, but no, $2 to $3 million.
That's a non-starter.
He'll walk
that's
before you even have a conversation. I think it's 4 to 8 is the window for the topic of conversation to even start. Ideal number probably 5 or 5.5.
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably where we're at. All right. Let's take our second break. When we come back, let's talk about the quarterback position. This has been a fun topic lately. Let's talk about Dak Prescott. Is he going to receive a contract extension? And what could that look like for the salary cap when we come back with more Talking Cowboys?
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Little Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talkin' Cowboys, final segment of Say It With Your Chest Friday, off-season edition. We'll be back at our normal time starting next week, which is Tuesdays at 11? Is it 11 or 10? Beamer, you got that on in front of you? We haven't had a normal off-season show yet, so it's kind of hard to really tell.
Winter,
10 o'clock.
Tuesdays, right?
10 o'clock on Tuesdays?
Yep.
Is that what you said,
Tuesdays,
Beamer?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 10 so, yeah, 10 o'clock on Tuesday.
Put it on your calendar.
Back. Put it on your calendar. I need to put it on mine for this upcoming Tuesday and throughout the rest of the offseason. Patrick Nosey-Walker, Isaiah Stanback, Chris Beam. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Let's talk about the quarterback position.
Let's.
So, of course, both Jerry Jones and Steven talking during the media session, or at least a quick media session during the Senior Bowl, when asked if the Cowboys would be interested in contract talks with the QB again, which would include an extension and lower his cap hit. They said Dak is going to be our guy for hopefully the next 10 years. You say that it's a long time because he's already played six or seven, but I think Dak will play as long or play that long because he takes care of himself and he's driven to be great, and we fully expect him to be here for the next 10 years. So, if they want that to happen, they've got 2 years left on his contract. Of course, Dak's original numbers were some of the top in the league. If you haven't taken a chance to look at where he ranks now, take a look. Because right now, the media or the market for a quarterback position, Daniel Jones right now is expected to receive a contract of about 4 years, $160 million.
That's the market.
That is exactly the contract that Dak Prescott was given. And that's for Daniel Jones. So even though it was the top quarterback contract in the league for a split second, it's not anymore. You're actually saving a significant number of cash on his contract right now. But you can even do better than that. You can extend him while his value is lower, and you can try and pull that out over the next 5 or 6 years instead of the next 2 or 3. So, Isaiah, when you look at Dak, are you confident enough to extend him, but are you also you kind of hedging your bets by extending him at a lower contract hit?
I'm not extending him based off of performance, if that's what you're asking. I would extend him for organizational structure
right? In terms of the salary cap hits and all the things that you were starting to touch on. The thought of extending Dak right now, I don't like it, personally. Now, kudos to him. He gets extension and all that jazz. I hope the best, all that. But business-wise, in terms of performance and getting this team to where you want them to be, I can't give him extension. Not me. I'm all about performance. If you're not putting out, you're not putting out. And I'm going to get somebody in here to compete with you. Mm-hmm. Either you're either going to get pushed into that position that I want you to be in, or this person's going to ascend and hopefully take us there. I don't see the benefit, aside from the salary cap, in extending him. Mm. That's about as blunt as I can be.
Okay. Yeah.
Salary cap-wise, it's obvious.
Yes.
If the Cowboys extend him, and this is per overthecap.com, they'd get $23.9 million in savings both this year and $26.2 million in savings next year.
Well, hold up. 29 this year? If they were to re-extend, they were to extend him?
23.7.
That is a lot of extra cash.
Three ballers.
A ton.
That's big. Look at the guys that they signed with the $20 million from Amari. They signed mm-hmm. Anthony Barr. They re-signed Leighton Vander Esch, Dorrance Armstrong. I believe Jayron Kearse was mm-hmm. probably into that mix as well. I mean, they got a ton of guys. Malik Hooker there. That's a lot of dough.
Just off one player. Just one trigger.
No, that's what I said.
Business-wise, it makes more than sense. It's right there for the taking. Now, production-wise, here's why I'm fine with it. Because you've seen what a healthy Dak Prescott can be. Almost 5,000 yards. Only a few shy of the single-season passing yards record over Tony Romo. MVP conversations a couple seasons ago. Now, I understand what Isaiah's saying. Hell, the science is in my articles. He struggled last year. I also put in, because something popped in my head, I'm wondering if not only – we know he was pressing, right? He was playing hero ball when he shouldn't have been playing hero ball in 2022. But I also wonder – because keep in mind that the fractured thumb was on his throwing hand, yes?
Yep.
I wonder if that slightly altered his feel – for the ball in the release. And I say that to say I could make the argument in my mind that with a full offseason, he'll get his timing back, his feel back, his release back, or he'll adapt, recalibrate to it, I should say.
Okay.
But more than anything, for me, it's the QB's coach variable. Because when our beloved John Kitna was in the building, mm-hmm. Dak Prescott turned the corner. Mm-hmm. And he became that MVP caliber quarterback who was flinging it around when he also had the personnel to do so at wide receiver. And the offensive coordinator was unleashing that. Mm-hmm. All things were working. They were humming. I've seen that Dak Prescott.
Correct.
Again, not saying Nussmeier did a poor job, but we can't ignore the obvious. And the objective fact is under Nussmeier, Dak Prescott became an interception machine. Nussmeier is no longer in the building. So if the Cowboys can bring in a quarterback's coach who can fix that part of Dak Prescott, then there's nothing that tells me that he's not worth an extension that would not only guarantee you don't have to revisit the quarterback market, because you got a 26th overall pick, you don't have a top pick, and if anybody who follows the draft and Cal runs the draft show, so you know when it comes to draft capital and moving up, people say all the time, oh, why don't you just move up to the top five from 26?
Nope.
That's a whole mortgage. That's like a 2 or 3 year mortgage to do it. So that's not realistic. And you might lose Cooper Rush in free agency. You don't know just yet what you got in Will Greer as a QB2. That's too much change. It's too much, even for the next 2 year period. Go ahead, get a new QB coach in who can help Dak fix the interception problem that just cropped up over the back half of last season. Wasn't really here before then.
And coaches don't go against your cap.
And doesn't go against your cap. And you'll net roughly $50 million in cap savings over the next 2 years as well. Do it. It's not the popular opinion, but it's just the right thing to do.
Right now, in terms of average salary per year, Dak Prescott is ninth out of the quarterback position. Some of the guys in front of him.
Funny how that changed, right?
Yeah, right. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Derek Carr. Derek Carr just got cut, by the way. He's going to not be on his team next year.
That's not even a lateral move for me.
So that's the thing, is those are the eight guys in front of Dak Prescott in terms of what he's getting paid per year. This isn't total value. Total value, I think it's even more so. I think he's like 10th or something like that. Let me see. I'll give you total value in 2 seconds. He's 8th in total value, so a little bit higher. So if you take the length of this contract and you're able to restructure it or extend him, you take that average per year down. You take it to like, what would be a good number? Like 34, 33, which would be less than what you're even going to pay for a cap hit this year. He'd be paid less than Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford on top of that list that I just gave you. So he'd be middle-of-the-road contract average per year. Why would you not do that and take a guy who's still
correct
in his 20s and take him and extend it out for a couple more years, 4 or 5 more years, and you extend him? I think it's a great move, especially right now, like I said, when the value is low. Hey, he's not coming off of an MVP-caliber season.
Salary cap-wise, I'm in total agreement with y'all.
But you just don't think the performance is there?
Correct.
Here's the hedging side.
I think there's two reasons why you extend somebody, right? We're talking about them. Mm-hmm. Either the performance, and you're like, hey, heck yeah, we want you around here long time because you're just killing
it. We're going to give you more money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to go here.
Or it's just like, okay, you're about to kill our cap. Let's figure out a way to save and get us some savings here, guys.
This is definitely the second one.
Absolutely.
Absolutely the second one. Also, in that same conversation at the Senior Bowl, what did they say about the possibility of drafting a quarterback?
Well, they're going to.
We're going to hit that on the draft show coming up on Wednesday, by the way. But they said, we are committed
now
to drafting a quarterback now, and we probably should have done one previously.
Should have took the New England approach.
And it's funny you say that, because we were talking about that offline, and not a few days later, Jerry Jones says they regret not taking the approach of drafting every single year because it gives you insurance and a developmental guy that if it turns out your franchise guy continues to trend upward and the rookie contract comes up to expire on the developmental guy, you trade him, you get some assets, you've got another one in the pipeline, so it's the Belichick. Absolutely. Style of drafting.
See, it's not even just Belichick now, too, though. But who were the last two quarterbacks that beat you this year? Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, he was a rookie, drafted as the final pick of the 2022 draft. Brock Purdy beat you with San Francisco. Who was the second to last quarterback that beat you? Washington. Sam Howell, rookie quarterback. Both of those teams had two quarterbacks already. Washington had both of their guys. They had Carson Wentz, Taylor Heineke, but it was Sam Howell that beat you in the final week of the regular season.
Just in case.
San Francisco had Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, yet it was Brock Purdy who's now sending them to an NFC championship game. So you drafting these quarterbacks is not a bad thing.
It's insurance.
Go out and get one.
If you're walking around here without insurance, you're living life on the edge.
You are.
And the Dallas Cowboys have been living life on the edge.
Yeah.
Just call it what it is.
Call it what it is. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Talking Cowboys. It's been a fun one today. We had a lot to talk about. We'll be back on Tuesday, 10 a.m. Central Time, and we'll be on Tuesdays from here on out. Hopefully the ice stays
away. No more ice storms.
Yeah, let's keep all that out of here.
Next week will be 82 degrees.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be mid-70s sweating. Next week.
Believe it. Be on the beach next week. So.
Commando Kyle.
Yeah.
No more beach for you.
Right back to it.
No more beach for you, sir.
We need a t-shirt.
You're all beach.
Commando Kyle. Somebody please make that.
Somebody's going to make another video on Twitter for it. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, Patrick Nosey, Walker, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you on Tuesday, 10 a.m. Central Time.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?